Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. Welcome once again to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. Well, it's been a big week. It's been an exciting week. Many things have happened this week, and I have a full plate, a full list of things I want to discuss with you this evening. So let's get to it right away. The first thing I want to talk about is Sharia law. You may recall that about 4 years ago, I wrote an article for Amazon.com on the issue. I've done at least 2 television shows on the issue. I've written at least 1 column. I have mentioned it in several blogs, and I also gave it a chapter in the book I published, The World Upside Down. Sharia law is the law that Muslims use. It's based upon the Quran, their interpretation of the Quran. It is Islamic law, and that is what they live by. But it's not what we live by. I warned, this is bad. It's going to hit our courts. Many national broadcasters, Joe Scarborough, for example, says, never be in our courts. Our judges here will make sure it doesn't happen. Well, within 6 months, 3 different states, 3 courts in 3 different states were applying Sharia law because they believed it applied under the circumstances. Now we have a Sharia law court in the United States. In Dallas, Texas, there is a Sharia law court. Dallas has a community of Muslims. They created a private court to dispense justice to their people. There are 4 judges. It's voluntary. The Muslims may come before the court if they want to. If they don't, they do not have to. They all go. It applies only Sharia law. It does not apply American civil or criminal law. It refers to itself as a tribunal. If you look in the dictionary, a tribunal is a court or a forum for justice. The men who dispense the justice are described and called judges. Primarily, they handle civil matters right now, family disputes and business matters, and some workplace disputes. This is not, well, how do I put this? I'm disappointed in Texas. I'm disappointed in Dallas. Texas, you know, is the home of the brave, the land of the free. They think they're pretty tough. They have a big-time governor, Rick Perry, who's running for the Republican nomination for president again. He's the man that a couple of years ago said if the federal government didn't straighten out, he was going to have Texas secede from the Union. This is a tough state. These are the people that when they fought their revolution to be free from Mexico, what did their flag say? It had the snake on it and said, "Don't tread on me." And they permit this kind of a court to go ahead. This court is unique to the United States. It's the first, and hopefully not the first of many, but I fear it may be. But the United Kingdom permitted such courts. And Great Britain has had many of these over the years now. And they said when they started this, where the Islamics said when they started the court and they wanted permission to go ahead with a Sharia court, we will be subject to British courts. Nothing we say, nothing we do will be contrary to British law. We will always be under the thumb of the British courts. Well, it hasn't worked that way. What they've actually done in Great Britain is created a parallel legal system to the British legal system. And the danger is the legal system created under Sharia law, it has no checks or balances. It's completely unchecked. They do what they want. Now, there are 85 of such courts today in Great Britain. Can you imagine? Started with 1, there are now 85. These courts are tough on women, incompatible with British law. Actually, I'd have to use the term abusive to women. For example, they refuse to grant divorces to women, but yes, they will grant a divorce to a man. They freely and easily and many times take children away from the mother. A husband under Sharia law can have four wives, and the court goes along with this and condones it, whereas a woman can only have one husband. Can you imagine? Four wives, but only one husband. Spousal is big. Spousal abuse in the Muslim world is big. The court looks, the Sharia courts look the other way. And why? Because the Quran tells them it's okay to beat your wife under certain conditions. And there ain't many exceptions. So they're beating their wives frequently. Dallas has no idea what they're getting into. Texas has no idea. I'm shocked and I'm surprised that they are permitting it in Texas. There's going to be some bad things coming down from this. Mark my words. Want to move now to Venezuela. I keep talking about Maduro. He's been president, I think, for 2 years in Venezuela. This is the fella, okay, that in the time he's been president, Venezuela has run out of toilet paper, soap, shampoo, milk, and I don't know what else. The supermarket shelves are empty only since this man became president. They are empty. You can look on the internet. There are tons of pictures showing the empty shelves in supermarkets. So bad and so destructive did Maduro consider these empty shelf pictures that they passed a law about a month ago in Venezuela. It's against the law to take a picture of an empty supermarket shelf. Would you believe? This man comes up with crazy things. Why the people keep him, I don't know. There should have been a rebellion, no question, in Venezuela a year ago. This guy is screwed up completely. So what is he doing now? This guy's big. He's got two things going. Now, I'm laughing before I even tell you. It's that bad. He says that our Joe Biden, the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, is behind a bloody coup to overthrow him, behind a bloody coup to overthrow him. All right? And he said this in front of a public gathering of thousands of people just last week. He says, Biden is triggering the other South American and Central American governments to be against him, okay? And he's turning the diplomats against him. And what is he going to do? He said, I'm sure Obama doesn't know because Obama's his friend. He's leading the people to believe. And he's going to tell Obama what Joe Biden's doing, leading a bloody coup against him. It's stupid. Stupid. It's even more stupid now. All departments, all officials, and military are on high alert. I'm getting a lot. I apologize. In Venezuela, I'm waiting for this bloody coup led by Biden to occur. Pure insanity. Now, what did he do yesterday? He did something else. And what he did yesterday reminds me of something similar that Adolf Hitler did. And when I spell it out for you, you'll see it. Yesterday, Maduro called the store owners and businessmen to a big meeting because we've got to resolve this problem. Let me tell you how bad it is. No food in the stores, okay? People can't buy. Can you imagine? No toilet paper? No milk for the babies? Anyhow, how bad it is. It's so bad that if you go on the internet again, you will see pictures of the people protesting in Venezuela. You will see, moreover, you will see pictures of the people standing in line to get into the supermarkets to buy something. These people standing in lines a mile long, 20 abreast. You heard me. Look at the pictures on the internet. And when they get in the store, there's nothing on the shelf to buy. Okay? Well, Maduro called a meeting yesterday of the store owners and other businessmen. And he said to them that they were intentionally causing the shortage problem in Venezuela to make him and his government look bad. And he said the long lines of people waiting to buy things in the supermarkets are their fault. And what did he do? And this is where he is comparable to Adolf Hitler. He had all the shop owners and businessmen arrested right away that were in front of him because he blamed them. He says, you're under arrest. And he had them arrested. They're in jail today for purposely creating the long lines. He claimed and listen to how this was done. He claimed the businessmen provoked the people. What they did was they cut back on the cashiers in the supermarket by 25% to intentionally create the long lines. This guy is nuts. He's trouble. He's ruining his country. Hugo Chavez was a god when he was there. We didn't think he was a god, but he was a good president. He took care of his people. He nationalized the oil. He nationalized the refineries. He took them over under the ownership of the government. He sent a check every month to his people for several years out of the oil profits. This guy has brought poverty to his country. They had toilet paper under Chavez. They had milk. They had shampoo, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the story of Maduro and Venezuela today. I want to talk about Greece for a moment. A lot's going on in Greece right now, and it's big. I apologize again for saying this the way I say it, but I was in Greece 3 years ago. I was in Greece 2 years ago for extended periods of time, 2 or 3 months at a time. And I got to know the Greek people, the Greek way of life. And I love the Greek people, by the way. They are so nice, so friendly. And they've been under the thumb of austerity. Austerity, and, you know, they're in trouble. They borrowed, Greece as a nation, borrowed all this money from the Euro Union and can't pay it back. Germany is really the power behind the throne in the Euro Union because they were making a hell of a lot of money, and they loaned it to all these countries who cannot now pay it back. And if it isn't paid back now, Germany today happens to be in trouble. They're not the same company they were 5, 10, and 15 years ago. They're having economic problems. They are on the edge of a recession. And if Germany doesn't collect this debt from countries like Greece, Germany's going to go down the tubes economically. Bad things coming. But I want to talk about how these loans were made, these big loans, devastating loans. Capitalism, because they think they're capitalistic. The Euro Union considers itself capitalistic. Germany, one of its members, considers itself capitalistic. Greece considers itself capitalistic. Well, capitalism is clear. And what it says to us, people should pay back what they borrow. But at the same time, it also says lenders who ignore risk management get destroyed. Lenders who ignore the risks involved in loaning to this particular person or country, they're going to lose their shirts because they didn't pay any attention to it. And it's their fault. For example, if someone offers me $1 billion, you heard me, if someone offers me $1 billion with no collateral and no assessment of risks, whether I can pay it back or not, and they're not interested when they make the loan as to whether I may be able to pay the interest or the principal. Who's the fool? Who's the fool? They didn't check my background out. They didn't care if I had the capacity to pay it back, but they loaned me $1 billion. Who's the fool? The idiot who gave me the $1 billion without any risk assessment. That's who the fool is. The Euro Union is the fool. Germany is the fool. They gave Greece, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Cyprus all this money without taking into account the inability to pay it back, okay? Because let me tell you something. Somebody offered me $1 billion and didn't give me any, you know, aggravation over it. Look, we want to loan you this money, Lewis. Happy to have you have it. And they don't check me out. I'm going to take the $1 billion. I'll worry about paying it back later on. That's the human spirit, the natural spirit. I don't know, very few people, if any, would turn down free money because that's what it becomes of that type. What has happened in Greece with the loans from the Euro Union and Germany is similar to what happened in the 2008 mortgage crisis in the United States. The banks loaned money to anybody on their homes. They gave all kinds of mortgages, first mortgages, second mortgages. They granted mortgages to 125% of the value of the house. They didn't do any background checks. All they wanted was more and more mortgages because they'd come up with this gimmick between themselves, AIG, the hedge funds, to put all these mortgages together into groups and trade them as stocks. And the banks were getting rich doing this. But But at the same time, you know, there comes a day of truth. There comes a day of reckoning. And when the people couldn't pay back anymore, the banks started crying and got very severe. The banks of America have screwed the American public. There are there's a million plus mortgages still out there, unpaid, that have not been resolved. People have been tossed out of their homes, set on their butts economically. And why? Because the banks were pigs. No one's ever gone to jail for this at the bank end. Bank CEOs and presidents are making $20 million, $40 million, in excess of $100 million a year today, whereas millions of people in the United States have lost their homes. Okay? I say about this loaning and who you loan to, I say, Lewis says, the primary responsibility is on the lender to not offer loans to marginal borrowers or those at high risk of defaulting. Makes sense. If I'm loaning the money, I'm not going to give you $1, $1,000, or $1 billion if you don't have the capacity to pay it back. Very simple. Very simple. But they didn't pay any attention. They didn't, as they did not in the United States. They did not with the Euro Union and Germany, as regards specifically at this time, Greece. What's going to happen now? Well, I wrote a chapter on this in my book, The World Upside Down. I've talked about it on my TV show. I've talked about it on this show before. I have a major column coming out in tomorrow's Conk Life, which is a local newspaper here in Key West, on the subject of what's going to happen. And basically, here's what I think is going to happen. Greece is not going to be able to pay them back. Greece may want to make a deal, 50 cents on the dollar or something. If the Euro Union doesn't go, or Greece may say, we're not going to pay you at all. Because I believe the only way this problem is going to be resolved is the Euro Union has to eat the debt. Give total forgiveness, because Greece, Italy, et cetera, they're never going to pay this debt off. Not in my life, their children's life, their grandchildren's lives. So what's going to happen? We're going to have a worldwide recession, because if the Greeks decide screw you with their new government, and they will, this is a radical left government, they will, Germany's going to totter. They're going to fall over the cliff. They're into recession big time. So are several other European nations who have a good economy. This is going to create a worldwide recession, because the Euro Union is going to go down. Major countries like Germany are going to go down, and it's going to spread all over the world, not just in Europe. We are on the edge of a worldwide recession. Or, and don't laugh, because I've been talking about this for 3 years, I've written about it more than once, and it's in the article I got coming out tomorrow on Conk Life, it's this. We could have war. I have said for 3 years, if we have another world war, if we have World War III, it will not start in the Middle East. It will start between Greece and Germany. I've been saying that for 3 years, because if Greece doesn't pay back, they can't pay back, and they don't agree somehow to pay back money they haven't got. The Germans are going to have to go to war with Greece to get the money, or hopefully get the money, because otherwise Germany's in big-time trouble, just as Greece is now. And so I've said you're going to have a recession maybe, or you're going to have a war, or you could have both. Now, Greece is doing a hell of a job with this election they had January 25th, because they elected a new party, Syriza Party. They are the radical left. They are so far to the right as liberals that normal liberals, progressive, don't agree with what they're doing. They're radical. They're worse than on the right. If you go to the far right, the Tea Party conservatives, they're worse than them. They are more extreme than them. But they won. They won big, the party. You know, 2 or 3 years ago, they were next to nothing. I don't even know if they existed 3 years ago. This may be a startup. Their leader, who's going to be prime minister, is only 40 years old. Well, Spain. Now, Spain owes money to the Euro Union and Germany. It's this way. Greece is the biggest debtor. Italy is second. And Spain is third. Oh, big money. Spain said has been under auto austerity too. They are anti-austerity now. They don't not want to be under austerity anymore because they have to lay off people. People are out of work. People can't buy food. It's really bad. You have to go over to Greece. I haven't been to Spain, but I've been to Greece enough times. The people are hurting big time. You can see it. This past Sunday, there was a rally in Spain. And do you want to know something? The rally, and this is no BS, had hundreds of thousands of people. Hundreds and thousands of people. The internet is a wonderful thing. I keep referring to go look at the pictures on the internet. Go look at the pictures of the people, this crowd of protesters, block after block, plaza after plaza, chock full of people, neck to neck, shoulder to shoulder. And every one of them described this as hundreds of thousands of people were present protesting because a new radical left party has come into existence, just as one did in Greece. This one just got started 6 months ago. It's called Podemos, P-O-D-E-M-O-S. It means we can. And they hope that they're going to carry the day for Spain, like the new Liberal Party is going to carry the day for Greece. Everybody feels this Liberal Party, extreme radical Liberal Party in Greece, is going to succeed, going to cause a lot of aggravation and problems, but they're going to succeed in getting rid of this austerity problem. And they believe in Spain, they got to get rid of it. And this new radical left party that just got started, Podemos, we can, whose leader is a 36-year-old political science professor, are going to take over the government also in Spain. And I'll tell you something, they're inspired by Greece. They're going to take the momentum of Greece. They're going to use it to carry the day for themselves in Spain. And I want to tell you what I think. I think they will do it. I think the radical left is going to win in Spain also. What does that mean? There's no question it's the end of the Euro Union. If Greece pulls out or doesn't get along with the Euro Union, they stop using the Euro Union might survive. But if two major countries do it and say, we're not going to use the Euro anymore, and up yours, Euro Union, we're no longer going to be a part of you, the Euro Union cannot survive. And many countries, such as Germany, who were pigs, they were pigs in granting the money that they knew couldn't be collected. They thought they were going to get it back easily. And now, for the last 10 years, they've been playing bankers, hard-ass bankers. The people of Greece and Spain and Italy hate the Germans. They hate them. When I was to some protests 3 years ago and 2 years ago in front of Parliament in Athens. I wrote about those also. They were huge. And I walked amongst the people. I didn't understand Greek, but I understood this. Every time Merkel's name was mentioned, Prime Minister of Germany, the people, young and old, middle-aged, spit on the ground. Almost 100% of them would spit on the ground every time her name was mentioned. That tells you how these people feel. I think if Greece gets out of the Euro Union and then Spain follows, it's the end of the Euro Union, which now brings me to, I read something on the internet today that was very interesting. It's just a sentence, and I want to read it to you, share it with you. We just had Groundhog Day, and the groundhog saw a shadow, so now we're going to have 6 weeks more of winter. And I'm always talking about climate change. I'm one of those people who believes we had climate change, and we better start taking care of it because it's going to take probably 50 years to resolve the problem before we have more and bigger snowstorms, more and bigger hurricanes, more and bigger tsunamis. Do you follow me? Why are all these things happening all of a sudden? Here's the quote. Only in America do we accept predictions from a rodent. A groundhog is a rodent. But deny climate change evidence from scientists. Only in America do we accept predictions from a rodent, but deny climate change evidence from scientists. It's true. Okay, I want to go to Washington State now. We know there is a problem in this country today. measles have come back, and it's spreading. It's a sort of a small epidemic. The measles germ was acquired at Disney World in California. That's been established, and it's heavy in California. It's in certain spots in the United States. Measles was eradicated, done away with, way back in my lifetime. I had measles, but my kids didn't get them because they had the shots. All right, and my children are now in their 50s. And I can remember when I was a young man, tuberculosis and polio were still prevalent. Who do you hear getting tuberculosis and polio today? Because we vaccinate every people. We vaccinate our kids against everything. Well, what's happened now is that we are coming into a group of people that didn't have the life experience what I did to see what measles did, to see polio, tuberculosis, and everything else. And they're saying, gee whiz, do my kids really need it? Nobody gets this measles anymore or whatever they're talking about. And some parents don't like shots. They don't like vaccines. They think their children are going to get sick and die. They may become autistic and all that. Well, and this is a problem now because certain states, if not all states in the union, mandate shots for children, vaccinations for children. We're going to go to Tacoma, Washington, Jamie Smith. She is a foster mother of five. Recently, her newest foster child is a baby born in December. She's had the child for 3 weeks now. She does not believe in flu shots, which are mandated in Washington. At the same time, I want you to know the American Medical Association, the Nurses Union, several labor unions all support the flu shot, say it should happen. She says, I'm not going to have this baby get the flu shot. And you know what the judge said to her? You either get that baby vaccinated and your other four children vaccinated, or I'm going to take your children away from you. You got to the end of February to make up your mind. If you don't, the state's going to take custody of your children. And the state would be right here. And it's not that we're protecting those children so much. We are protecting the rest of society. Because why should any of us be in danger of getting a germ that doesn't exist anymore if you get the shot? So that handful of people out there who are opposed should not be listened to. And now it's becoming a political issue. It's going to be out there in 2016 in the presidential election. You've got some political candidates saying, well, the parents have a right and we have to look at it. Bullshit. Not when it comes to a whole society picking up a germ and getting sick. Okay, now I want to give you... My time is running out. Let me talk about Super Bowl security very quickly. Super Bowl security. Ho, ho, ho. Where are my notes on Super Bowl security? Super Bowl. So we're doing good. I'm losing time. Here it is. Okay. Super Bowl security. Big security for the Super Bowl this past weekend. There were Black Hawk helicopters, truck-sized X-ray machines, and so forth. It was over-the-top security, and we can understand why. It cost in the millions. The actual amount has not been determined yet. Who's going to pay for it? The taxpayers are. We are. Not the National Football League. And the reason why is because the National Football League is a not-for-profit organization. You heard me, not-for-profit. Our Congress, many years ago, gave them this right of not having to pay taxes and made them a not-for-profit. None of the other major sport organizations are. Their president, Roger Goodell, gets $44 million a year. The NFL makes, last year, $9.5 billion in revenues. Something screwed up. They're just like corporate America who don't pay their taxes, the National Football League, that we have to pick up the tab for security at the big money maker they have. That's the show for this week. I talked a little fast at the end because I wanted you to join me. I hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoyed doing it. I know most of you listen to this in its archive. I wrote a book, The World Upside Down. If you like the show, buy the book. If you don't like the show, don't buy the book. See you next week.